The members of the cowherd community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudeva to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the Brahmins, Brahmanas returned with Lord Krishna to their village in Raja. Please repeat. The members of the cowherd community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudev to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the Brahmanas returned with Lord Krishna to their village in Raja. Although the Govardhan Puja was performed in a blissful and successful way, the matter was hardly finished. Lord Indra is, after all, tremendously powerful, and he received the news of the Govardhan sacrifice with burning anger. What ensued will be described in the following chapter. Thus end the purpose of the humble service of the divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Associates, they are Krishna's very close intimate friends. So So Krishna is going to provide everything for them. And also there's a lesson for Indra as well, as we've been hearing, and we will be hearing more about the plight of Indra. Yeah, described here, he's heard this news, and did he receive it with great pleasure? No, he's burning in anger. So this is a... So Lord Indra is going to be taught a lesson here as well. As we see as this story unfolds, as we know, Lord Indra will be brought down to his knees in submission. The same as more or less what happened to Brahman as well. Is that been that past then? Did we discuss it? Is that been correct? Yes? Brahman? Yeah. Brahman, Vimohan, Leela. Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and it's mentioned in the purport here, very wonderful lesson is that they are very, very powerful. But still, they have a tendency to be overcome by illusion. This is described in the very first sloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes about the potency of Lord Krishna's illusory energy, that it can bewilder even great sages and saints. Just like one sees illusory representations of water seen on fire, or land seen on water. Yeah. Due to illusion, one perceives something which is not. Yeah. So, Lord Indra, he's thinking he is someone he is not. Yeah. So, he is the king of heaven. So, that's quite a powerful position. And he's the king. How many devas are there? 360 million or something like that. Many. Calls of many, many, many devas. And he's number one. He's the king. Yeah? He's king. King Indra. Yeah? And they worship him. Yeah? So you can imagine, in one sense, we can emphasize with Indra. Yeah? He's being worshipped, all these prayers being offered to him, for all these different apsaras as well. The devas and different residents on different planetary systems throughout the heavens, they all worship the Lord Indra. Yeah. And in every sacrifice, Indra is offered. Yeah. Indra is offered some homage every sacrifice. Yeah. So he's been bewildered. Yeah. When we are bewildered, or when we are overcome by pride, specifically Indra has been overcome by pride. Of his position, one cannot see things as they are. This is the illusory energy of the Lord. It's that if our mind is contaminated, if our consciousness is contaminated, what we see will be different. It's very powerful, isn't it? The mind can be such that one person, two persons are looking externally at one object. Yeah. But according to their consciousness, they might well perceive it differently. So Lord Indra has become overcome with false pride. He's become Utsaha Mahi. Described one of the pride is described. Pride is one of the described. Utsaha Mayi is one of the symptoms of unsteady devotional service. It becomes described by Srila Vishnu Thakura Thakur, describes it puffed up with false enthusiasm. And this is, he describes it in relation to someone who first takes up the process of devotional service. They begin to learn some mantras, they begin to learn some philosophy. Very proud of our position. Yeah? And we think we are someone we are not. Yeah? But Lord Krishna is very, very kind. Yeah? He has a pin. This is pin. He knows how to he knows how to deflate. Yeah? Krishna doesn't like his bhaktas becoming proud. Yeah? Because that is like just like here, Indra. I'm very proud of his position. Yeah? So Indra is not seeing things as they are. has become, as I say, his mind has become, say, or anger, greed, lust, all these enemies of the sadaka, lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. They cover, so one cannot see things as they are. One cannot see. One is illusion. And guaranteed, if you try and one of the devas might have explained to Indra, or you become a little bit proud of Maharaj Indra, you might have met with anger as well. But anyway, the point is, Indra is not seeing. And Krishna is playing a wonderful leela, a wonderful pastime. Indra, the king of heaven, and he's not seeing, he sees Krishna. As a very wonderful question Radha asked yesterday. How is it? In the beginning he was praying, for Krishna to come, and Krishna said he was going to come. And so how is it? He's now seeing he's becoming angry. How did Krishna how did Indra speak about Krishna, his worshipful Lord, the worshipful source of himself and creation, that talkative young boy? He's seeing, he cannot see things as they are. He sees Krishna. He's hearing how Krishna stopped. He stopped the offering of sacrifice to him. He stopped the offering of sacrifice to Indra. But Indra says he's a very powerful. He's the one who controls the reins. He's the one who controls the, more or less, he controls the reins and executes, more or less controls the material cosmic manifestation. So Lord Krishna, he's going to bring, as we see, wonderfully, as we see in the next chapter, he lifts Govardhana, we know the pastime, the little thing with his left hand. And Indra tries with all of his might, which he could, because Indra, he also plays a role in the devastation of the cosmic manifestation, partial devastation of the cosmic manifestation, and he sends particular clouds called the Sambhataka, which shower rain like as thick as chariot wheels. Not drops, just thick as chariot wheels, thick rain. This is some particle. These are clouds that inundate the universe at the time of partial annihilation. Yeah. So that's brilliant. Indra brings out his best men, so to speak. Yeah. So you think he probably was thinking, show that talk to the young boy. Show that. Sambhataka, of course, Sambhataka. But has no effect whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Krishna just lifts Govardhana. Commander, you will pass him. But also, I was reflecting on how the way Krishna deals very sweetly and very nicely with his devotee. There was another pastime which reminded me of his. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Keshava Kashmiri. He was a greatly learned scholar. He was described that he was empowered by Sarasvati herself. That she described that Sarasvati was actually the goddess of learning, was present on his tongue. And this is in Navadvip. When Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, not Lord Chaitanya, is it? Nimai Pandit, he's a young youth. And this Keshava Kashmiri, he's in those days, probably now to some degree, but not much more, but they would travel to different provinces and challenge the best of scholars, the best of Brahmins to a debate in logic and sastra, etc. And he'd be traveling with a big entourage of persons in Keshava Kashmiri. people were traveling on elephant and people in front of him playing trumpets. Come to each province and bring out your best, your most learned brahmana. You know? So this way he came to Navadvip, and Nimai Pandit, you know, he wasn't elderly Brahman. He was Nimai Pandit, he was just a youth. You know? Just a youth. And so they met, actually. And they met at the Ganges, wasn't it? Like he met at the Ganges. And, the way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so, you know, I was reading his pastime later, is Krishna. How sweet is Krishna? Krishna is very sweet, isn't he? Very sweet. And Lord Chaitanya is very, very sweet.
Yeah.
And the way he dealt with Keshava Kashmiri, the way he was very nice. He defeats them not in a public assembly. Yeah. He just happened to be coming to take his bath in the Ganges. And Nimai Pandit happened to be there as well. So, wow. He gave great respect to Keshava, you're a great noble person, and I'm very fortunate to meet you today. And now my life has been successful. And he wasn't doing it in a mood to be like an arrogant, like, oh, you're a great soul, are you? He was actually, he was given a general respect for a learned person. For a learned person. Keshava Kashmiri was also offering respects. First of all, he was, as with most persons who came in contact with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personally, he was struck by the form of Gauranga. He took his breath away. He said, no, how wonderful description, one has many wonderful descriptions, but a wonderful description in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Is it? The first verse is beautiful, you know, lotus eyes. There's a word for it. He's described that his arms reach down to his knees. Chest, just like Krishna, every feature is perfect. His beautiful lotus eyes, beautiful, amazing golden fortress. Beautiful, and completely peaceful, completely unaged, and unagitated by anything, completely peaceful. And so, for that, that's a bit disarming. This is also similar, reminds also of. Fakasananda Saraswati Thakur, all the Mayavadi associates there, they were struck by Gauranga when he came into the assembly. At that time, it's described that he manifested in effulgence like a thousand suns. What that was to be like, one sun is a bit. It's like a thousand suns. But of course, but this effulgence is the same as Krishna's effulgence. Like a thousand suns, that it's like too much sharp, but at the same time it has a sweetness. Yeah, so it's a golden glow of sweetness. So Lord Krishna's involved, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, so then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he asked Keshava Kashmiri, so please, you're a great honored person, please, what did you, we are here by Ganga, please say some verses in glorification of Lord Ganga. And without hesitating, without looking at the main base, without nothing, 100 slokas glorifying Ganga just came out like the Ganga. Just came out. 100 verses. And Lord Gauranga, Nimai Pandit is the 100 verses. And then, as we know the pastime, as you know, then he stopped. And then Lord Chaitanya glorified him for his wonderful recitation. But then he began to teach there, but actually one I'd like to bring your attention is paraphrasing here to one particular verse. To one particular, it has some good points and it has some bad points. First of all, can you imagine, can you take it back? You remember one particular verse? And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went into detailed account, analysing the grammar and how it wasn't correct according to different schools of understanding or poetic grammatical arrangement. He had made some. There was some ornament to the verse, but there was also some parts of the verse which were not quite understandable. The verse was in relation to Lord Shiva and Shiva's wife and the Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe in very logic how it wasn't quite right in many, many different ways. You know. And then Kesha Kashmiri, he says, he went on for some time actually. And it's very nice and interesting that at that time, Nimai Pandit's students were sitting around him, they all started sniggering. This is Keshav Kashmiri. You know, he's a conquering pandit all over India, and all these young kids are starting to laugh at him, and this youth, you know. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him not to laugh, you know, not to laugh. Then Keshav Kashmiri, he actually went to reply. He went to say something, but he couldn't even speak one word. Yeah, he couldn't even speak. He couldn't speak one word in reply. Yeah, and he was complete. And actually, then pastime unfolds. Then they agree to meet the next day. Keshav Kashmiri has a dream, isn't it? And then Mama Sarasvati appears and says, you know, this is my worshipful Lord, you know, you should surrender unto him. You know? So, point there is that Lord Chaitanya dealt with him in a very sweet way. You know, he brought his pride down. You know, actually, Keshav Kashmiri became a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, he's preparing us, so preparing everyone, ultimately, actually he's preparing us for how to approach spiritual life. It's a very important principle, it's the point of humility. Chanana Pisa Nichira, the Lord of Pisa Vishnu, Mamina, Manavina, Kitamari, Sadhari. Very important principle. Very important principle. That's why it should. It's ingrained within the culture to actually teach us that. It's like we come into the temple and we bow down, isn't it? Within the culture, within the Vedic culture, then the children will bow down to the parents. But it's that humility which will make one's superiors inclined to give mercy. We're inclined to give mercy and knowledge. That's why another pastime this graphically comes up is Sutra Goswami's father? Ramahashma Sutta. Ramahash is another, someone who is overcome by pride as well, but actually, interesting in this account, he wasn't dealt with so sweetly. Wasn't dealt with exactly how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with Keshav, he didn't bring it down so sweetly. Now, here was someone whose spiritual master is Srila Vyasadeva. Yeah? And he knew all the Puranas, all the Dhammas, all this and that, all this, and all the scriptures he knew. Yeah? And so that's why they chose him. Ramaharshi Sutta. They chose him. He was one of us. So, as we know that pastime, he's sitting on the Vyasasana, and then Lord Balaram comes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah? And everyone rises and everyone gives respect to Ramaharshi Sutra, Vyasasana, chosen, bow down. And interesting how seriously the Lord took that. Lord Balaram took that very, very seriously. Yeah, very, very seriously. So he's come to establish religious principles. The Lord comes to establish Dharma. And he just said, he's someone who's supposed to be known. And he's full of pride. Learning, as we should understand, should make one humble. Yeah, should make one humble. Remember one devotee giving the, actually it was Dana Tai actually, giving a really nice example that as we progress in spiritual life, some fruits of our practice will manifest. Yeah. Some fruits of our practice will manifest. Yeah. So it's described just like the fruits of a tree, when they get heavy, then they bring the branches of the tree down. You know? In the same way, it brings down. You know? So, but isn't it so hard? It's not easy, you know, to be, for some it may be, but for especially, well, for some, but for us, depending on their conditioning, there are always these enemies, not just pride, but lust, anger, and greed. It's described that they're just waiting, isn't it? Like highwaymen, you know, like highway bandits, you know? Just when you're going on the path and you're not looking, they jump out. Just when you thought you was making advancement, just when you thought you was doing well, you know, there's lust, there's anger, greed, comes, you know. But well, we should not give in. Yeah? We should not give in, and especially living in association of devotees, it gives us a very nice opportunity to practice these principles. And this is another point which I'm kind of. So I'm reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita at the moment, and just really appreciating the dealings of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very sweet dealings, you know, filled with humility. Krishnadas Kavya Goswami himself, you know, filled with utter humility. You know. He doesn't want, no one to even mention his names, you know, Bhakti Mohan Thakur. Norton Dasthakur and their prayers. So here, going back to his pastime, Indra, he's the king of heaven. He's become full of pride. So Krishna has to do a special bringing down. And that's when really realization and revelation will come, is when we're in the right frame of mind, isn't it? When we're in the right mood and the right frame of mind. The more humility we have, the more empowerment one can, the more empowered one is to preach or spread Krishna consciousness. Because yeah? Krishna can trust one with, well, Krishna can trust one with that empowerment. Yeah? Just like Prabhupada himself. Yeah? I always reflect on this, how Prabhupada gets so much respect, isn't it? So much adoration. So much respect. So much adoration. But there's not one wind of pride anywhere comes anywhere near Prabhupada. Never. And even Prabhupada prays as well. Please do not let me become proud. Is it Prabhupada? Or please do not let me become all these followers. So he was a trustworthy person. Because Krishna's willing to give his opulences to his bhakta or to his empowerment to his devotee. Yeah. And if we're endowed with humility, we can be trusted with that empowerment. We can be trusted to use it in the Lord's glorification. Yeah. But what's happened with Indra, isn't it? Indra's been, he's empowered, described here, that he's a powerful person. Why is he powerful? Why is he tremendously powerful? Because Krishna's giving him that power. Yeah. But he's misusing it. He's misusing that power. Yeah? So therefore, Krishna will take it away from Indra. Yeah? Take it away. Yeah? So it's a very important point in spiritual life. It's the development of spiritual qualities. And as we know, the Shashti Bhakti, Bhavati, Kunjana, Gunas, Mutakuras, and Asati, Sunya, describes that by practicing pure devotion, then the qualities of the demigods come. The good qualities of the demigods come. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like simultaneously one at the same time, we should be developing them with a specific, we should be like on the lookout. We should have, like our mind should have a radar. According to our sincerity, we should have a radar going in our consciousness. Whenever we see pride, anger, anything, we should identify it, you know?
It should go off, you know?
And actually, Krishna's very kind, because if our radar's not working properly, which often it's not, radar's probably smashed to pieces, then the Christian would arrange that the devotees act as their radar. So this is, we should be praying as well. We should be praying. Praying very much. My Lord, please, we should be praying. Please don't let me overcome my power. Please let me chant the holy name correctly. Please let me chant the holy name in the right mood. Please don't let me be overcome the lust, anger, and greed. Feeling this mood, begging Lord for protection. It's so easy, especially for our prayer. Especially for conditioned souls, anything that the conditioned soul does, speaks, or does anything, automatically, so it's almost like a automatic response to accept it. Oh, I have done it. Oh, I have achieved this. Oh, I have done this. It's like automatic reflex for a conditioned soul. Just like Indra here, he's become powerful. Why is he powerful? Because Krishna's made him powerful. Krishna's way too powerful, so it's Krishna's power. And if cultivation, we have to cultivate, as we have noticed, pride is that it's not something when we not something like when we join Krishna consciousness and you get like a check-off sheet, I want to be free of false pride, okay, I'll have that one. I want to be free of anger, okay, I'll do that one, okay. No, you have to cultivate it. It's just like when it doesn't happen overnight, isn't it? Or even though sometimes we go through something and we think, okay. Then the next few weeks, then again. But it's something that we have to cultivate. It's just like a plant, isn't it? When you grow tall seeds, you have to cultivate. It's not as if you just put the seed in and bung the water on, and then hope for the best, and go back a few weeks later hoping something's happened, Every day, isn't it, when growing tulsi? Every day you have to look. And when you look at the root, you don't just look at it and walk away, you look at it and you look at it again and you make sure you're seeing the right thing. Is it growing nicely? Is it? Is it growing? We should cultivate. And again, it's like wonderful. Indra's getting a lesson in cultivation of humility. He's getting a wonderful lesson that Krishna's so kind that Krishna doesn't like his bhakta, he doesn't like anyone. He doesn't like, especially his bhakta. Krishna takes away the pride of everyone. But especially he's concerned when his devotee may become proud. Especially personally concerned with his heart. Personally concerned for that. So we're very kind. But Krishna, he takes away the pride of everyone at some point, isn't it? With materialistic persons, he takes away their pride. Just think how I mentioned before at the time about not mention his name, but Saddam Hussein, he was a powerful person in his country. His face was on all the banknotes, on all the coins, statues of him everywhere, And in the end, he was, I remember graphically the picture of his being captured. His face looked like the saddest person on the planet. He was found in a hole in the desert with nothing. Anyway, he lost everything. So Krishna, it's no good being proud in this material world. Actually, it's foolish, isn't it? When we see materialistic persons who are proud, it's just embarrassing, isn't it? It's just embarrassing because everything's coming from Krishna. And everything's going to be taken away. Everything's going to be taken away. That song, isn't it? Bow down, Mister. Bow down, Mister. Best to bow down voluntarily. Best to bow down voluntarily. So, this is a wonderful lesson that's been not just taught to Indra. You should remember, it's been taught to us as well. It's a lesson for us. You know. One, that we're completely dependent upon Krishna for everything. You know. No need to worship here, there, no, no, no this, no that, no this, we are. Completely, Krishna's our complete shelter. This is the, this is what Krishna's teaching us through the residents of Raj. You know. They have complete dependence upon Krishna. You know. Where did they, who did they shout for when the rains came? Krishna, no. Krishna, Krishna, no, no. Although in one sense, I think it's Charlie Thomas nice to say that Krishna was the cause of it, because he stopped the yatra. He stopped the yatra, so in one sense, it's Krishna's fault. You know? But it's our Krishna. Krishna, help, help! He didn't go anywhere else, you know. He didn't cry to Indra, it's called Krishna. So complete dependence on Krishna. And at the same time, utter humility. And then if we develop these qualities, then that's why, as you mentioned, that's also Sutta Goswami, Lord Maharshal Sutta was killed, and Sutta Goswami, he was chosen to speak. And the reason why he was, one of the reasons why he was chosen, one was he was very learned, and another reason why he was chosen to speak, because he was very gentle. Described. Because you are gentle, it's described, because verse describes, because you are gentle, you have learned all the secrets of spiritual life in the scriptures. Because you are gentle. Therefore, you can tell us everything scientifically. Because you have humility. Not as compared to your father. Because you are gentle, you can tell us everything. You speak. So, Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? That's what some. Krishna consciousness is like a school. It's for learning these qualities, it's for developing these qualities. It's a wonderful school for doing that. You get plenty of lessons and chances every day. Every day you can wake up, okay, today I've got another chance to try and be humble. Okay, let me try again. Got another opportunity to try and be humble. Another opportunity to not get angry. Got another opportunity to not be envious. Okay, let me try again. Let's keep on trying. Every day. It's the 4 points to meditate. Any questions, comments? Okay. Yes.
Any questions, comments? You described the pride and anger like bandits on the highway. Mm. How can we, obviously, in our daily life, obviously, if you get a lot of time with Krishna, how can we sort of know that they're coming before they come?
Well, I haven't heard the question. How can we know they're coming before they jump on us? Good. That's why it's so important. That's why it's there in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's to develop the worldly goodness. It's so important in everything we do. In all the details that we do, we try and do everything in worldly goodness. Then we can see things coming. Then we can identify what's there. In a mode of passion, we get run over. Just get crushed by these things, and then we wake up, and then when we get up, we realize what's happened. You know? But the mode of goodness, mode of passion. It's very intense, actually. I don't know if you've been in that situation, or sometimes I've been in that situation in the street, or whatever. When someone comes to you in the room, full of passion. And then if you're on a mode of passion, you'll do the same thing. You understand? It's like if someone's really passionate and they're really intense about something, and then you might say something. But if you're in a mode of goodness, you'll be able to watch it and not react the same, you know? So basically the mode of goodness. The mode of ignorance, then no hope. No hope. No hope. The mode of passion, you might reflect after. You know, about the goodness you can see. So free in their activities and their eating and their activities, the more details which are in separate something new. That's a challenge as well. And for experience as well, you know, from practical experience, you know, wisdom. Wisdom.
I was wondering if another way you could be prepared is if other people can warn you.
Yes. Yeah. Be in association with devotees, you know. Ask for feedback. Please tell me if I'm getting association with devotees. Yeah, sometimes it can get very dangerous when you're beyond the warning stage. You know, you think that the person warning you has got something against you. You know, yeah, you're just envious of me. And then at that point, it's kind of revolting. You know, like, what can be done? Just let them to energy. You know, do what's got to do. So be very careful with that. I mean, we've all got faults, but when we start to react when they're pointed out by the devotees, you know, we start to take offense to them. That's where it gets. Another way to learn about humility as well is if you see it. If you see it as well, it's really amazing when you see someone who's actually possessed of utter humility. It kind of it makes you humble, isn't it? You think you're humble, isn't it? You want to. Remember when Jani Nivas was here. So humble, isn't it? Every time I was in his association, I felt like a raging monster, you know, full of fire. Just by sitting next to him, I could feel all this fire. He's so, you know, disarming, so from the journey, that's the classic examples of humility, you know, utter humility. You know? So that's also a very, when someone's actually possessed of that divine humility, which comes from realization of one's constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. You know, you associate, get close to such persons, you can also, you know, imperceptibly, it's like, actually, sorry to go on, but you can learn more from a self-realized soul in 1 second than you can do for studying for 100 years. You know, studying intensely. When you actually meet someone who's got these qualities, it's kind of, oh, that's what it is. It's kind of, it's an imperceptible understanding of humility and appreciation of it. The Prabhupada himself, very powerful. Again, this associate with persons who are humble, it's associated with the Vaishnavas. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, let's stop this. Just one more question. The kind of teaching should go by the key.
Thanks for having me.
Any stores?
Okay, we begin with we distributed 10 books and collected 262 books. And what's the restaurant? Well, the restaurant is 52 towers of Elaine and Nagarishwan.
Anandas.
And on book distribution, we have 2 devotees going up, beginning with Jayanandas, who collected 13 lakshmi points, distributed 1 small book, 3 more big books, with 6 points on it. And Bhakti Shiv collected 26 lakshmi points, distributed 4 small books, and 3 Mahabhi books for 11 book points. So that's a total of 2 devotees collecting 39 lakshmi points, distributed 5 small books and 8 Mahabhi books for 17.25 book points. Okay, this is service on the ladies' side to help serve Vishadu. 1, 2, on the men's side to help serve Vishadu. 1, 2, 3, 10, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, offer our most respectful obeisances unto you.
With a mood of deep gratitude
and appreciation, we request your courteous mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to tissue the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the former conditioned souls of London. If you so desire, please enable us to cooperate together in the mood of selfish service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We are your surrendered servants and people. Bring up Prashad as quick as possible and continue our day's duties and serve the world.